Hi y'all, happy Halloween, and if you know what it means we're going to do a spooky episode.
I don't know, it's Samantha George.
If you're new here, hi, hey, welcome to I Don't Know with Samantha George. And if you are a veteran listener, thank you so much for coming back and listening to the podcast. I Don't Know with Samantha George is the podcast where we talk about life, the paranormal, talk to guests, and occasionally have some deep conversations. With that being said, how is everyone doing? It's Halloween, and it would not be I Don't Know if we didn't release a Halloween special, right? And that's exactly what we're going to do today. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about ghosts. Spooky stuff, a haunting so popular that it made the house famous. We are talking about the Conjuring case, or in other words, the real life Conjuring case and the haunting of the Perrin family. Without any further ado, let's get right into this episode. Located in the small country town of Harrisville, Rhode Island, Roger Perrin and his wife, Carol, purchased the home in the winter of 1970. The 200-acre property offered plenty of space for them to raise their five daughters, Andrea, Nancy, Christine, Cynthia, and April. The house was big, the outdoors was equally fine, and they had a pond and, you know, it was the picture-perfect location. Unfortunately, it had a little bit of a flaw. It was haunted. Initially, the house was all right. There were just a few things that caught the eye of Carol, the wife, like the broom moving from its place, dust gathering at random spots of the house, the scraping of the kettle on the kitchen table, and noises that you heard here and there, but nothing too scary. They were given a word of caution by the neighbors too, who advised the parents that they best leave their lights on at night, though the reason behind it, the advice was not given. And as mentioned earlier, the activity was just small occurrences that could easily be explained as, you know, part of living in an old house. So noises, objects shifting was just like, okay, maybe it was someone just moved it, or just noises from an old house. Nothing that could immediately be labeled as paranormal, right? Now the Perrin girls were basically like, you know, kids, two teens when they were in the house. So they had toys, and the toys used to keep shifting places, which ultimately resulted in them fighting with each other. Now Cindy, the second youngest sister, said that there were other kids that were using her toys, and she ultimately decided to share the toys with the kids who were visiting her in her bedroom. So at first, you know, the kids saw ghosts or spirits or something like that walking around their house, and they assumed that they were kind and benevolent, or at least for the most part of it were harmless. The spirits even served as playmates to the kids. They enjoyed spending time with them and, you know, playing with them. The girls even claimed that the ghosts tucked them in at night and kissed them on their foreheads. Cynthia, one of the daughters, said, "When we first moved into the house, for the first two months, there was a woman that came and kissed me every other night on my forehead. I thought it was my mother." Andrea, her older sister, said that mom smelled like ivory soap, but the spirit smelled like flowers and fruits. So yeah, pretty fruity odor for a ghost, I guess. But real talk, when I read that, I kind of got literal goosebumps, because I mean, I wouldn't even want to imagine something like that happening to me. And the thing is, smell is such a peculiar thing that you actually get reminded of a particular person or a particular memory whenever you smell this particular thing, right? So yeah, I guess it's pretty scary. I wonder if she, whenever she smells flowers and fruits, if she's reminded of that instant in her life. Would be weird. But slowly things began to get a little bit worse. The family claimed that the house sometimes smelled like rotting flesh. The beds would rise off the floor, according to them, and whenever Roger, the father, entered the basement, he felt a cold sinking presence behind him. The family often stayed away from the dirt floor cellar, but the heating equipment kept falling mysteriously, which caused Roger to venture down the basement, obviously. The family would be awakened every morning at 5:15 a.m. by an overwhelming smell of rotting flesh, or because the temperature would drop tremendously. Honestly, I'm recording this at like a little bit in the night, and it's kind of freaking me out, but I'm trying not to get freaked out, and I will do this for the podcast, guys. Anything for the podcast. Researching about this took a toll on me, but well, I gotta do what you gotta do. Podcasting ain't easy, y'all. But anyway, getting back to the story again. One day, Cindy told Andrea that there was a voice that was telling her about 7 bodies that were buried in the wall. They later came to find out about a number of people who had died either in the house or on the property. Both people lived there or people were just passing through. It was found that 8 generations of one extended family lived and died in that house prior to the arrival of the parent family. And some of the previous owners never really left the house. They lived throughout their life there and even died there. There was a black book of Berryville, the town's former public records book, and it basically revealed over the course of its existence, the property had been a host to 2 suicides by hanging, 1 suicide by poison, the murder of 11-year-old Prudence Arnold by a farmhand, 2 drownings, and the passing of 4 men who froze to death. In addition to the other tragic losses of life there, most of the recorded deaths which occurred on the farm were in the family. Mrs. John Arnold, Hermione, Johnny, and Prudence, and even Bathsheba was an Arnold. Now, coming to Bathsheba, I'm going to call her Sheba from now on because I don't want to be seeing her name no more. Now, Sheba was one of the most notable ghosts in the real haunting as well as the movie, right? Sheba was known to be quite an angry spirit according to the parent family. Carol, the family's mother, experienced the worst of Sheba's wrath. Shortly after the family moved there, she claimed she was visited at night by a woman in grey whose head was hanging at her side. The woman told her to leave or she would be driven out of the house with doom and gloom. Now, Sheba is said to have lived in the farmland in the 19th century and had 4 children, 3 of whom had died. She was accused of sacrificing an infant to Satan. Wow, this is so scary, guys. Why am I doing this? I should have done this for the guest. But anyway, back to it. I can move on. She was accused of stabbing an infant, basically. And she did it supposedly at the back of the neck of the child with a knitting needle. Though the evidence could not be held up in court. Now, no one knows if that story is true or not, but all we know is that an infant was left in the care of Sheba and was found dead in her care too. Now, Carol was one day laying down on the couch, sleeping basically, and she felt almost a stab sensation in her leg, and the mysterious stab wound began bleeding, and it was similar to the one that killed the infant. So yeah, this prompted Lorraine Warren to suggest that Sheba had taken her knitting needle to her grave and was using them in the hauntings at the house. Andrea Perrin, one of the daughters, said in an interview that whoever the spirit was, she was perceived herself to be the mistress of the house and she resented the competition my mother posed for that position. Now, getting a bit more into Sheba's story, right? Supposedly, she was living in the farm in the 19th century, as stated earlier. And according to local lore, she was a witch that made a pact with the devil in which she was granted youthful beauty at a high cost. She was turned into stone upon her death, and that's how she died. As a ghost, she was condemned to torture people, possibly out of jealousy for their beauty, and that could never be hers. Now, a family friend named Barbara contacted Ed and Lorraine. Contrary to the movie, it wasn't Carol. She obviously, no one knew about Sheba at that time, but they just the whole concept of Sheba was later found, I think, by Lorraine, and then they done some research and found there was actually a person named Sheba in the house, and the grave is also there at the house. It's there even up to this date. Getting back to the story. So Ed and Lorraine was introduced by a friend of the parent family. And according to the movie, right, we have the Warrens that came to the house and performed exorcism and drove the spirits out. However, in real life, it wasn't that magical. So unfortunately, when the Warrens came, they kind of made the situation worse. The Warrens began by talking to each member of the family about what happened. They later conducted a seance with the parents in the basement of the home. Lauren never talked publicly about what happened during the ritual, but she clearly was disturbed by something she saw during the seance, right? And the children were not allowed... Andrea snuck in and I think saw whatever they were doing, and she claimed that her mother began speaking in a language not known of this world, in a voice not her own. Her chair levitated and she was thrown across the room. Roger was enraged by what happened and literally kicked the Warren family out of their home after the seance and told them to never come back again. So yeah, it wasn't all upsy daisy after the Warrens left. In fact, it made it worse, according to the parent family. Now, also, remember the game of hide and clap in the movie, the scene that literally freaked everyone out? So the girls in real life too enjoyed playing hide and seek, especially during summers. During one of the first games of hide and seek, about 6 months after moving into the house, Cindy decided to hide in the woodshed. To make things a little bit more fun, she climbed into a wooden box, and the wooden box was not locked. It had no a latch or a lock on it, and it was just covered by a wooden panel. They started playing the game, and after some time, none of her sisters were coming and finding her. So obviously she realized they did not find her, so she decided to come to let herself out by pushing the panel up. However, it would not budge. There was no air holes, nothing in the box. It was just like a literal box without any air. She began to scream, she cried, she pushed it again and again, hoping that, but nothing happened. Luckily for her, 20 minutes later, I think Nancy, one of her sisters, came and found her, and she was found there in a pool of sweat, tears, crying about everything that happened. And all Nancy did was just simply move the lid up. So yeah, it was super weird what happened to Cindy, and she claimed she could not even breathe when that happened, because obviously there was no air in the box. So yeah, pretty weird things happened over there that affected the family both emotionally and physically. Now, all of us, including me, to be honest, after watching the movie and any other horror movie, I'm just like, dude, why didn't the family just move? I mean, you can sell the house, it isn't that bad, or you can ask someone if you can stay in their house. But at that time, the economy had crashed, and just as they bought the new house, so they couldn't even sell the place to someone else, because if anyone else bought it, it would have been a loss for them. So no one was willing to buy the house, and none of their friends or family was going to take a big family in, right? It's 7 of them and 5 girls, so no one would really want to take the family in for an unknown period of time. So that's why they were stuck in that house for quite a while. The family learned to maintain, after that, peace with the spirits. The hauntings was bad, but I think after the seance it kind of calmed down a little. The kids said they still feel haunted sometimes even now, but yeah, it was they couldn't wait until they moved out, and eventually the family did move out. Now, other people who have lived in the Conjuring house even after the parent family, a few claim to have experienced something, a few have claimed to have not experienced anything. According to the parent family, the next person that they sold the house to stayed in the house for one night and saw something and never even came back to the house to even collect his clothes and belongings. So yeah, you have two very different perspectives for the same house. So the latest people that own the house are ghost enthusiasts or paranormal enthusiasts, I guess. And they say that strange occurrences have happened all the time in the house. Doors have keep opening, books keep falling in the library. There are conversations that can be heard, footsteps, noises, and even they conduct like spirit box sessions. I don't know if y'all are familiar with the spirit box, but basically it's like a radio of some sorts that takes up frequencies of, I think, I'm not really sure the technicality, but basically it makes noise, and through the noise you can hear like few words that are put in. So yeah, it's like radio frequency and something like that. Anyway, they had conversations with the spirits through the spirit box, according to the late owners. But yes, that's about the Arnold estate. With all that being said, I think we need to address it. The parent family definitely faced something out there which was out of the ordinary, but I don't know if it was Sheba or something else, or maybe multiple spirits. We never know what's gonna the truth, right? And also remember, Sheba was a person that existed in the 19th century, and any woman especially that was not liked during that time was labeled a witch. And obviously, according to what I said, she was labeled a witch as well. So yeah, maybe it was something to deal with that. So you never really know the truth of the whole story. With that being said, what do y'all think about the haunting at The Conjuring? Do y'all actually think it's true? Personally, I think the place itself has been through so much of trauma, right? With so much of, according to whatever research they had done on the house, it was passed down through 8 generations of a family and all of them had died pretty bad deaths. So I feel the vibes of the house was not A1. So yeah, I feel like that vibes kind of transfer into something else, and sometimes houses just carry this aura around them. I think people also carry an aura and houses also carry an aura, and that's probably what happened over there. And maybe the parent family actually experienced something bad, because till this day they stand true to their statement, and everyone knows the house is literally famous and still stands till this day. So yeah, also another thing, the house is actually open for tours. So if you have the money and if you want to see the house and you're into like paranormal stuff like that, y'all can actually go and stay overnight at the house and communicate with something, I don't know, or like just discover the place, check out the basement, play a game of hide and clap. But yeah, y'all can go check it out. And I would just chill where I am right now, watch horror movies right from the comfort of my house. But if you'd like to do that and you're adventurous enough, you should go ahead and do it. There are a lot of videos online also. Like, I've been obsessed right now with these YouTubers. I have always been obsessed with them, but quite recently they have this Hell Week. It's Sam and Colby. I'm not sure if you all are familiar with them, but yeah, they're paranormal investigators / YouTubers. But yeah, they have this Hell Week thing where they went to Conjuring House. They are going to go to the Conjuring House today. So yeah, it's pretty cool, pretty excited. There are other videos also from different YouTubers that you can check out that have gone and explored Conjuring House, and honestly it's quite terrifying. But yeah, it's fun stuff, dude. I would not visit the house, but I would watch videos about the house. Stay like Samantha. With that being said, it brings us to the end of today's episode. If you liked it, you know what you gotta do. And yeah, happy Halloween again. I hope it was an okay episode and you learned something about the Conjuring House, what you'd never heard of from the movie at least. And yes, see you next Friday for another fun episode, and see you when I see you. Bye.